Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Praise God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and from verse 4 to 5, the word of God says, love suffers long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunted not itself. It's not puffed up. Love does not behave itself unseemly. It does not seek our own. It's not easily provoked and thinks no evil. Okay. Unfortunately, once we get this thing sorted out, maybe by the second service, we'll take this scripture in a simpler version so that you can see all the trenchy and the grammar that has been spoken by King James. Amen. So I also want to quickly read from 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16. The scripture says, and we have known and believed the love that God has to us, that God is love, and in that dwelleth in love dwells in God, and God dwells in him. Father, bless your word this morning. Let it find someone. Let it help somebody. Let it transform us. Let it make us more like you. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, the first thing I want you to put down in your note is that God dwells in a realm that is called love. So, that is God's realm. Now, the scripture also says to us, I think it's in 1 Corinthians also. It said there are three things that abide. It said one is faith, the other is hope, and the third one is love. And the greatest of this is love. That means even in the spirit realm, there are categories. Some of you will hear, you know, in Nigeria, you hear, even sometimes pastors will say, all sins are the same. All sins are not the same. All sins are not the same. If you take the life of somebody, it's not the same thing as committing some other types of... I mean, if I give you a punch, you have the right to punch me back. But if I take your life, you can't pay me back. You are gone. So Jesus, also speaking about the greater sin, told us that he that makes a young child, and please, I want you to give me your attention. He that makes a young child to deviate from the ways of God, it's better for that person to have a stone around his neck and thrown into the river than for such a person to even be born. Which means for those of us that are parents, we have the responsibility by God to train them. You don't have a child simply because you are old enough to be married. You have a child because you have received a ministry. So being a parent is a ministry. Hallelujah. So God dwells in the realm of love. And some of the things that we do and we kind of get away with is not because God is not angry. It's because he's our father. Hallelujah. So when God is your father, sometimes everything doesn't have to be flogging and flogging. Sometimes you really need to have some... family meeting, you know, you're going to talk about it. So God dwells in the realm of love, and this is a profound key to if one must experience God's presence. Defining that realm called love, and I want you to hear me, please, because sometimes we don't understand why we pray and God does not hear. You are on another channel, and please, you can put this down in your note. The greatest battle Satan will bring against you is the battle against your love for God and your neighbors. You will not know. You will think it's just about the challenges you are going through. The devil will turn your back against those that love you. It will make you feel like nobody loves you. The devil is going to raise a lot of warfare and spiritual battles against you, especially in how you think or perceive that people receive you or accept you or do not accept you. And everything will just be in your head. It's not real, but it's in your head. And because I was listening to a scientist, I don't know if he's a scientist, but he seemed to be a professor of medicine also. The guy said, your emotions are electromagnetic waves, and they can make you believe things. That's why you can see somebody and you fall in love with the person without knowing his name. His name may be Mukaila, but you think it's Charles. It's not Charles, it's Mukaila. And you just, you know, and that's why people get married for all kinds of reasons, because there are electromagnetic waves doing dangerous things to them. Your emotions are not real in that sense, but they are electrical signals, and they make you believe that what you're experiencing is real. In the ancient in the ancient Danish kingdom, where you have Denmark now, yeah, in Europe, Denmark in the days of the Vikings. So if you do a bit of history, the Vikings were people who believed a lot of things that we believe. Have you watched the film Thor? Mighty Thor, all the series that involves Thor, they are from the Danish mythology. So you have Odin. Odin is the what is known as All Father. In the Christian world, is God the Father. Then you have Thor, who is Jesus Christ. So they have some kind of copy and paste here and there. But there's something about those who come from this particular area is that they believe that if a man dies without his sword, a man must live and die by the sword. That man will not enter into heaven. So they call their heaven Valhalla. We call it heaven, they call it Valhalla. So if a man dies even in battle, the first thing they must do is to get his sword, not another man's sword, and put it on his chest, and he must hold it. The gates of heaven will just open like that. Even though he was a fornicator, the heaven just opened. Pew. It's not a saint. And if you die without your sword, your spirit will be roaming in another realm. It's another story, but it's interesting. You should read these things. So I'm just trying to describe something about God's reality to you. God dwells in a realm that is called love. There's a faith realm of God, and I'm going to come to that in some other meetings. But today I want you to, each realm gives you certain things. The realm of love gives you the best of God. So faith may give you power, but love will give you God. Say amen. Faith will give you what? But love will give you what? God. So, if you want to experience the presence and the glory of God in a very personal way, you want to take God with you away from church on Sunday and go to your office or to your shop or to your school or whatever it is that you do, the love life or the love realm must be open to you. And that's why the scripture says in 1 John chapter 4 verse 16, it says, we know, we have known and we have believed that the love that God has to us and that God is love. That means it is wrong to describe love as an emotion. Love is not an emotion. Love is God. The best way to describe love is to paint a picture of God. And that's why you cannot say that you don't love anybody. Any believer, any Christian that cannot walk in love is not perfected in God. Because your salvation, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, are gifts that God gave you because he loves you. It's not because you prayed and fasted. It's because even before you were born, God thought about it, that you'll be married, you'll be happy, you'll speak in tongues, you'll prophesy, you are going to do all the things you are doing. You are not better than those who have died. So to know God as love now makes you realize that you are not really trying to earn anything from God. Your Father has provided everything. Say amen. Amen. Come on, say, I have everything. Now, to enter into this dimension, we must come into number, and I'm making reference to 1 John 4:16. There are two conditions for entering into the realm that is called love. Number one, look at that scripture again, 1 John 4:16. It says, and we have known and believed the love that God has towards us. We have known and believed the love that God has towards us. So the first key to entering this dimension is revelation knowledge. To enter into the love of God. I've seen many Christians who struggle with the fact that God loves them. They speak in tongues, they come to church, but they are not so confident of God's love for them. They wake up, some believers don't even believe if they sleep tonight, they'll wake up tomorrow. And when they wake up in the morning, you begin to hear things like, Father, I thank you that when I slept last night, I did not die. No, did you see? If God was waiting for your prayer, you would have been dead. God already determined his mind that because he loves you, you will sleep and wake up. So it's not you. Your prayer is, you are late. You need to understand, because if you are not confident in God's love for you and your family, you will not really know why God has blessed you in spite of all the sins of your fathers. This is a serious matter here. A lot of believers are not even sure. Someone's asking, say, how am I even sure God loves me? How am I sure? You see, that's the problem. It's a revelation knowledge. It's not a head knowledge. But the moment you see the cross, and maybe one of these days when we have a bigger stage, I'm going to get a big cross and put it here. Because the cross is the symbol of God's love for us. Everybody should wear a cross. I don't even know why we don't. Everybody should wear a cross. It is a testimony of Christ's victory over Satan. Every time Satan sees the cross, he only remembers where he lost. And that's why there are weapons that we must learn how to invoke in mastering victory. We must learn how to invoke the blood of Jesus. We must learn how to invoke the name of Jesus. We must learn how to invoke the power that is in the word of God and the cross of Christ. The cross of Christ, because no blood would have been shed without the cross. Somebody hung on that cross. Hallelujah. So you need a revelation knowledge in your spirit about the love of God. When you get this revelation knowledge, that revelation knowledge is not about, it's God. God is revealing himself to you, the multi-dimensional faces of his love for you. How that he is the reason why you are still here, and that your decision to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior is a love decision. Come on now. It's a love decision. You are not bored and you decide to become a Christian. You didn't come to church today. Everything you are having to deal with right now has a love signature on it. And that's why some of us have battled. You see, a lot of people who come to Christ or who come to church, but they smoke. And you just find that God is very patient with them. God is not really permitting what they are doing. But God has hope. God has hope. These are the three dimensions of God's strength. God has hope that, this brother, 5 years from now, would have changed. You see, some of these folks that you call, say they are gay, they are lesbian. You see, God has hope. His love is revealed as hope. Like, this person is going to change. That's why when you say father and die, God doesn't listen. Because God is a love God. There is nobody that has ever met him in history that didn't love God. There's a particular, is he an astronomer or scientist? Josephet or something. I'll get the name in some other, I'll mention the names maybe another time. The guy doesn't believe in God. Till he died, he never believed in God. But as a scientist, he studied the Big Bang theory and came out with a postulation that, have you heard of the Big Bang theory before? That the Big Bang theory supported the elements of creation in Genesis chapter 1. He came out with it. So you need to read all these things. Don't say because you studied music in school or you are a dancer, professional. No, you should read these things. Because when you go into a meeting with people who don't believe in God, you should be able to explain with science how God exists. Hallelujah. So there's a realm that God lives in, it's called love. And you only access that realm through revelation knowledge. That means God has to reveal that realm to you. And you get that realm, first of all, by looking into the scriptures. Number two, by praying and asking the Lord to show you. Some people believe when they are going through something bad, it's because God turned his back on them. God, no. If God turned his back on you, you would have been dead. Life is about challenges. Even if you have all the faith in the world, you are going to face challenges. So that you are going through a dark phase now does not mean that God has forgotten you. It's just a phase, and every phase has an expiry date. Come on, say amen. Amen. So you must come into a revelation knowledge about God. You must come into a revelation knowledge about his love. Are you with me now? You must come into a revelation knowledge about God, who God is, and about is love for you. You've got to be persuaded about it. If not, the devil will keep telling you that you're not going to get married because God is slow. God is always late. There are many things that many of us have heard and believed, and which has affected our ability to love our neighbors and respond in love towards others, simply because we are not really persuaded about the fact that our relationship with God is a personal one. Like, your love thing with God is you and him. There's no third party. Come on, are you here? You and him, the maker of heaven and earth. When he talks to you, he's talking to you. Like, he has the time to talk to you. He has the time to sit with you. Actually, you are the one who really has time for him. That's how serious it is. So God could be talking to you and talking to Mama and talking to Pastor David, and he practically splits himself into those the number of people praying at the moment, and he's spending quality time with everybody because that is who he is. It's a love God. God is the kind of person that wants people. You have these uncles that always like people, you know, come stay around the house. You know, when you're on break, come to the house. I used to have one pastor then. Every time he talks, he said, just come to the house. Just come over. He just likes seeing people around. He doesn't like to be alone with his wife. So there are some people like that. Some people, some other folks, you call them. Uncle, he said, I'm not at home. He doesn't even let you land. But God is like, oh, no, come. There was a particular guy in the scripture that Jesus used to represent the prodigal son. Actually, I think the other brother that didn't left was more prodigal than him, the other boy, but we'll come to that. But the guy, the father saw him. The guy actually hurt his dad. The guy broke his father's heart. He literally stole from his father. He asked for the inheritance, not because he wanted to do something useful, but because he wanted to be free. The way many of us make decisions to be free of God. You make it look like you are praying, you know, but you don't want to have to pray to say, God, I need money for my rent. You don't want to trust God that the next car you want to buy, God can provide. So you want to be rich so that you won't be talking to God about. You want to be free of God. That was the fruit that the man ate in the garden. To be free of God. And God gave it to them. And look at the result. Tell your neighbor, don't be free of God. Tell your neighbor again, don't be free of God. Because he loves you. If we preach the message of love, the whole world will be saved. Yeah? Love as defined by Jesus, love as defined by the word of God. Everybody, you can't hate Jesus. And that's why many cannot respond in worship to God, because they don't even know that God loves them. You didn't wake up this morning, God woke you. It wasn't your alarm clock. It wasn't your clock, it was God that woke you up. Your spirit heard the voice and you opened your eyes. Come on now. So you can't, even when you rebelled against him, God's love was intact. God has programmed his love. As far as it involves David, as far as it involves Busayo, as far as it involves Vivian, this is my testament for you. It's called love. That's it. Then you get into the office and somebody is trying to prove to you that, oh, you're a failure. This thing happens in the soul. It happens in your spirit. You've got to be so. It's just like someone trying to tell you are not your father's child. Then you go to the restroom in your office and you start crying. You've heard that name since you were born. You've sat in church and you've heard somebody tell you over and over again that you are God's child and your relationship with him is personal. Yes. Then somebody comes in your office or in your shop and tells you, you don't look at it like this person must be a fool, because maybe he doesn't really. And Jesus never said don't call anybody a fool. He only said don't call a person a fool without a reason. So if you have a reason, then you can call the person a fool. How can you tell me I'm not my father's child? Have you found children that were adopted into families and they started looking like every other sibling? What are you talking about? I'm sure God is so amazed at the way many of us who claim to be his children are not even sure. You are wondering if they adopted you. It's a revelation knowledge. You've got to look at the cross to find that when the scripture says, as he is in this world, so are we. That means that when God looks at Jesus and he looks at you, he's seeing the same person. Now, Jesus is the picture of perfection. You are the picture of imperfection. But as far as God is concerned, the status that Jesus has is what you have. Jesus is not more righteous than you are. So the Bible says, come boldly before the throne of grace. Don't come like a weakling. Don't come like a sinner. Come like a son. Come like a daughter. The angels can't look into it, but you can. The angels need to use their wings to cover their eyes, but when you come like a son. You don't take permission to come to your father's house. Say that I want to come and see you. Are you at home? What? I'm at the door. It's a revelation knowledge. You just know it. Don't let your pastor deceive you. You are God's child. You have the password. You have the ATM pin. You spend from the pocket of Jehovah. If you are the governor's child, will you pray for your school fees? It's revelation knowledge. You know it in your knower. You know it. You know it. And let it shape your perspective to life. Let it shape the way you see life. Let you just know somewhere in your spirit that you will never be abandoned because God is your Father. And that anybody who walked away from you only lost an opportunity to be blessed. It's a revelation knowledge. You just know it. The lion will not eat grass. You just know it. You just know it. Things may be tough, but you know who you are. I know who I am in Christ. I know who I am in Christ. I know that I am the Son of the living God. I know who I am. Not because of who I am, but because of what he said to me. It's revelation knowledge. If you don't catch this thing and let it sink deep into your spirit, let it sink into, regardless of the things you are struggling with. You may be struggling with alcohol, you may be struggling with cigarette, you may be struggling with your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your wife, your husband, your second wife. You may be struggling with anything. Listen to me. God's verdict is the same. So the difference between you and God's verdict is revelation. If there's something God has said to you, I will do this for you, I will do this for you, and you are not seeing it, there's something you don't know. There's a knowledge gap. There's something you have not learned. There's something you have not mastered. That's why you don't know you're a miracle worker. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, say I'm a son. Tell your neighbor, I don't need permission to come to my Father's house. Number two. In 1 John chapter 4 verse 16, the scripture says, and we have known and believed the love that God has to us. The subject of faith. When you get revelation knowledge of God, you need to come into faith, because spiritual things are only assessed by faith. There's no logic to it. From today, your sins are forgiven. You have to accept it by faith. Not because you feel that way. I remember many years ago when I began to play around, when the Lord began to convict me about my sins. And I would come to church and I would pray and pray. I started giving my life to Christ on Friday. Because there seemed to be... No, I used to give my life to Christ on Sundays. But it seemed God was not getting it because there was traffic. You know, so everybody's praying on Sunday. So I moved it to Friday when Muslims pray. Most people are not praying on Friday. So I moved my prayer to Friday. And I'll pray, God, forgive me. I was waiting for the feeling that God has... I would just get a feeling that, I feel like I'm born again. So when I started praying on Sunday, I would think, my impression was that if God has really forgiven me, I'll be able to live a Christian life. But on Monday, I'm already fighting. On Monday, I'm looking for trouble. And I've forgotten that I gave my life to Christ on Sunday. So there's traffic. Maybe God didn't really hear me. So I moved to Friday. By Sunday. I've never been a Christian for 3 days straight. 3 days. It was so terrible. All I needed was for someone to tell me the doctrine of faith and the relation to righteousness. Do you know you can conquer sin by faith? Most times we are trying not to sin. That's why we are sinning. I will not fornicate. Oh, I will not drink. Oh, I will not do this. Oh, I will not be angry. No! He that has believed, has entered into his rest. Or how did he put it? Has ceased from his labor. Give me that scripture. Ceased from his labor. Hebrews 4. Get that scripture for me, sir. Hebrews 4. He said he has ceased from his labor. So you need to be a dead man to stop struggling. As long as there's something in you that struggles, sin has power over you. You are trying not to fornicate. You are trying not to steal. You are trying not to do what is wrong. You will continue to struggle. You have it? 4:3. Hebrews 4:3. Please give me Hebrews 4:3 if you do on the screen. Let's look at Hebrews 4:3. Can you read it?
For we which have believed.
To enter into what? Into rest. We which have believed. I'm talking about the faith factor in coming into the love realm. That if God says he loves you, the first thing you will feel won't be emotions, is faith. Hey, are you still here? The capacity to believe that revelation. The capacity to believe that this is your reality. He said those of us who believed have entered into rest. We have ceased from our labors. We are not trying not to see. We enter into victory by faith. That's the love realm. That's the condition given to us here. He said, we have known and we have believed. Those are the two conditions that guarantee us access into the love realm. Because you cannot enter into the love realm with emotions. Emotion is 2G. Faith is 5G. Hallelujah. I know in my knower who I am, and I believe. There's nothing that can happen. Nothing will change my name. So the moment you stop judging your love life based on how you feel, you rise above Satan. You rise above the flesh. Most times we think we love people because we like them, we feel something for them. No. Love is faith. Tell your neighbor, love is faith. Because it doesn't, that love doesn't depend on anything. It doesn't depend on how I feel, how I don't feel. We have received a commandment to love, simple as ABC. That is it. I love you. It doesn't mean you will not take responsibility for action, but I love you. That is not going to, I'm not going to leave you in this situation, but I mean, you may have to, it's just like somebody who gets pregnant and they ask God for forgiveness. God will forgive you, but you still have the baby. You have the baby, you have twins. And we'll name one Caleb, name the other one Joshua. And they'll be children of God. God is not angry with them, it's you he's angry with. But you are still God's child. But you will pay their school fees. Hallelujah. Come on, say, I'm loved of God. And I know it. Say it to yourself, I know God loves me. I'm not confused about it. You've got to know it. You've got to tell your children, if you have to tell them God loves you, even if I'm not here, God is your father. Tell them. Tell them. This lack of understanding is what affects many people in the place of prayer. They can't come confidently to God because they are thinking of all their sins. Meanwhile, God is saying, you are my child. Come. Even if you are in sin, it is God that will fix you. And that's why most times when people sin, the first thing they do is they shy away from God's presence. Who knows what I'm talking about? You committed a sin, you can't pray again. Because you know you did that thing deliberately. So you are like, let me leave for 3 days. After 3 days, I'll come. You know? So you if you are not a sinner, you won't know what I'm saying. Or sorry, if you have not committed any serious sin, you won't understand. You just know that this thing that I did, this woman that I abused, I could have avoided it, but I did it. So let me leave God. So that, because the Holy Spirit will now be making you feel very... So let me leave them. Let me go and watch Netflix, do other things. So once you feel better, you now come back and say, God, I'm sorry. OJ, you are deceiving yourself. The sin is still there. It's 3 days old. God doesn't forgive you because you feel better. So feeling better is not the way you know God forgave you. God forgives you because you asked for it. And we have a lot of wonderful people who go to offices on Sunday, on Monday morning, but they are carrying everybody's guilt. Some of them didn't have a father's love. Some of them never had a mother's love. Some of them lost their parents when they were very young. Some were rejected by their... Some, it was their own parents that spoke evil and negative words into their lives. So they don't understand love. That's why you are here. Because the Spirit of God said in the scripture, he said, where father and mother forsake me, say, then I, the Lord. You understand? He said, we arise and be your father or be your mother. So you don't have an excuse. You don't have an excuse. Everybody can be made whole by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So those are the two keys. And truthfully, I got to tell you, you cannot have accurate revelation of God's love and be the same. You can't be the same. You can't be the same. Hallelujah. Now, to press into the revelation of faith, to press into the dimension of faith, we must catch a revelation of redemption. Do you know what redemption is? What Jesus did on the cross? To press into the dimension of faith, I talked about revelation knowledge and I talked about faith. And I said to come into faith, because faith is a dimension. There's a faith as a token, there's faith as the spirit of faith, there's the gift of faith. But the dimension of faith, that is the creative realm of God, where God speaks the things that be not as though they were. That dimension of faith, you cannot enter into it if you don't have a revelation of who God has made you based on redemption. That when God saved you, he saved you completely. Your spirit, was made a son. You are a son. You may be a child that is growing in faith, but in the spirit, you are God's child. You have the same righteousness level as Jesus. You are not praying, God, make me more righteous. Now, there's a difference between righteousness and righteousness consciousness. There's a difference between God of righteousness and we being the righteousness of God in Him. There's a difference. So God showcases us as the proof of His excellence and righteousness, because He brings a broken man out, and that man stands and says, I was once lost, now I'm found. So maybe when we come back for seconds, I will take a hymn. We'll sing hymn. Hymn has a way of settling your spirit. We'll take a hymn. You can sing, I was once lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. That now I see is redemption. Jesus said to Nicodemus, He said, except a man be what? Born again, he cannot see. The problem most Christians have is that they've heard, but they've not seen. So they are not able to fully accept. That's why a person who was born into a family of high-level wizardry, does not believe that I can pray and deal with this thing once and for all. You can pray and deal with it just because you are born into a family of covens of witches, of the seventh order, of level 999, does not mean that you have to be binding them, all the rest. That's not your ministry. You can be free. Some of us were born into such family, but we don't even remember their names anymore. Sometimes the proof of faith is to ignore. Don't ignore them. You people are just learning. You are learning work. Me, I'm a son. When Jesus comes into the meetings of witches and wizards, they call him God. The Bible says the head of all principalities and... So they cannot meet without his permission. Forget all that thing you watch on African Magic. When Jesus, when they do that meeting, they worship him. Say, it's by your grace we are here. They worship him. Want to meet too? Don't scatter our meeting, no. So you are the son of that kind of a person. And then you sleep and you are afraid someone is coming to press you. You don't understand redemption. So to be able to release your faith, knowing that that faith will deliver, you must know who He has made you. Come on, are you here? You must know who He has made you. And I'm not talking head knowledge. I'm talking about spirit knowledge. I'm talking about heart knowledge. That thing is deep down there. Way back, sometimes, you know, when we didn't know so much, we would sleep feeling like a Christian, then wake up the next morning feeling like we are not saved. Who knows that feeling? You just feel like, but you know, you're never born again, no. You know, who knows that feeling? You feel very born again on one day. 2 days later, you're like, if Jesus comes now, you cannot make heaven. The knowledge of redemption takes away that fear. I'm telling you. Takes away that fear. I'm starting on this note because by the time we proceed in this series, we are going to touch down on certain things. But I need us to clear the road by starting with our love for God, God's love for us. Let me quickly round up here. What are some of the hindrances to love? Number one, popular opinion. Popular opinion. Hindrances to love. You have the social media or the internet telling you what they perceive to be God's definition of love. You have all these gurus, these Indian gurus on Instagram, trying to tell you what they think love is or what life is. And many of times they make a lot of sense. Except that knowledge is not from God. It's from the soul. God deals in the spirit. Popular opinion. If you love me, you will let me. No, I love you and I'm not going to let you. If we both agree to it, so who is blaming who? No, you may agree to it. It is still sin before God. I'm not concerned about what you did last year. In fact, I'm not even concerned about what you did before you came this morning. I'm saying going forward now. Come on, say going forward. Going forward. So you need to drop that baggage. Let the love of God fill your soul. Nobody will condemn you. The Bible said there is now no to those who are in.
So you've got to be in Christ, in his righteousness, in his redemption. You must, to be in Christ means you have the knowledge. It's not physically or literally entering into him. It's the knowledge of redemption. The knowledge of righteousness. Once that knowledge is settled in your spirit, there is no case against you in court, in the courts of heaven that will stand. You don't need to pay for your parents' sins. Come on now. You don't need to pay for your, even if your parents were idol worshippers and they sacrificed mommy, it is not, they did it, not you. So you can insist. Because Satan will come and say, oh, it was your father that did it, and tries to put it on you. That is where the issue of warfare prayer comes in. See, I mean, no, that's not me. You and my father, I know where you are cooking together. I don't know you. So you stay in your lane. But it takes righteousness to know your right. You have to be in Christ. You have to have this kind of mindset. If not, you will keep praying and you will never be free. Popular opinion. Allowing the world to define what love is. If she's pretty, then you love her. If you like her at first sight, then she's the one. No! That's popular opinion. I've seen a lot of very beautiful women when I was much younger on campus. They were like bespoke. You could call them bespoke. Everything perfect in the right places. Fast forward to 7 years, and then they've had 3 children, and you see it, and you're almost thanking God that you didn't make that. And not just ladies, so even guys. Some guys, some of us were very trim. Trim. When we were on campus, we were like, oh, Pastor Gwinga, Pastor Gwinga. Then you now got my, now this pot belly, looking like a thief, looking like somebody that, they look at you and your wife, they don't even know who is pregnant. You say, oh, Pastor, wait, guy, is this you? Yeah, it's me. Ah, that okpeo. Busa will just be saying, okpeo. Ah, I almost made this mistake. Eat glass, eat paper, eat yam, eat shoe, eat socks. See your stomach now. You're a consumer. You just eat. Ah, say okpeo. Say okpeo. Ah. No wonder I can't prophesy again. So open your eyes. It's not by what you see. It's popular opinion that will tell you, she's light skin. She's this. The nurse have not told you. That thing could be somebody toning her skin. Then when you now marry her, you don't have money to be buying cream. The skin will now start becoming. People say, our daughter is suffering yours. I've warned you. Number 2, hindrance to love, past disappointment. Somebody broke your heart. You were not loved by your parents. You expected certain things from them. They turned you down. Your sister hurt you. Your brother hurt you. Past disappointment. And the thing about past disappointment is that, or hurt, is that most times we are not really free from them. We just bury them. Yeah. Just bury them. Those are one of the 72 things you should watch out for in my book. Things to check out before you say yes to that brother or before you marry that girl. Check if she has things bottled up. Because you'll be the one to suffer. You'll suffer. You won't even know what you are doing wrong. She's like the weather. It's like it's warm now. Then all of a sudden it's -0 degrees. It's just hot cold. You can't even say, you have to look at her before you say good morning or good evening because you are not sure. Or the brother is always hot-tempered and he doesn't know that it was the way his parents treated him. Any small thing, they just, there's different between knock and conk. Go and bring that spanner. Pa! You just reset. Brum, pam, 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 pam. Let's start again. You could have said, I told you to go get the spanner. But everything is, and the there's this one, then there's this one. If you, the boy will just reset and reboot again. So the boy is used to being hurt and disappointed by those who claim to love him. Past disappointment. So many times we come to God and we also struggle to love him. Because the one we could see didn't prove it. How much more the one we can't see? Number 3. Hindrance to love, not being established in the knowledge of God. Not being established in the love of God.
So this is love series part one. Man, just number four, selfishness. Hindrance to love, selfishness. You think it's always about you. It's not about you, brother. You got to wake up. It's not about you, sister. You may be a slave queen, but it's not about you. It's not about you. The world is bigger than you. 100 years from now, nobody will know you ever lived. 500 years from now, nobody will. You'll just be a line in somebody's storybook. A line, if you are even that lucky. Sometimes it's just 1982 to 2050. That's it. I don't even know my grandfather. I don't know anything about him. So what are you talking about? This is just three generations. It's not about you. You don't have to be selfish. You've got to look beyond you. Look for transgenerational blessings. Look at what you can do before you die. That your children will say, ah! Even when they say, let's change our name. Say, no, I'm not changing my name. I like this name. Let me close with this and we'll continue. Ephesians chapter 3, 16 to 17. Ephesians 3, 16 to 17. Come on, say, God loves me. And I know it. Now, say to yourself, God is not angry with me. God loves me. Now, say to yourself, I am forgiven. My sin no longer exists. There is no record. Because I'm the righteousness of God. In Christ Jesus. Now, let's read verse 16 and verse 17. That God will grant unto you the riches of his glory, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in your inner man. That Christ may dwell in your heart by what? By what? By your feelings? By how you woke up? Excuse me. By the promotion you got? How would you know that Christ dwells in your heart? By faith. By faith. Faith has the way of knocking down all those strange rules and conditions. It just opens the door for you. By the time you start having faith, you will still not feel anything. Hey! You will not still feel anything. You won't feel like a child of God, but it's your faith. That's faith. Faith doesn't rest on anything except God's word. See, if any man comes to me, I will not cast him away. You believed in that word and you demonstrated your faith by saying, Lord, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. And that's it. Say that Christ will dwell in your heart, in your spirit by what? By faith. So that you being what? Rooted and grounded. Oh my God. That's another message. Rooted and grounded in what? So the journey to love starts with faith. Hallelujah. So this is an entire message, but I can't touch this now. We're going to come back. I want you to rise on your feet. It is on the strength of what Christ has done for you that you know. They are going to get married. You are going to have a job. You are going to be healthy. You are going to be fruitful. God is going to restore your family. You know it in your spirit. Because if God could give you his only son, then he will not withhold any other thing from you. I want you to thank God for his love for you. Thank God for his love for you. Thank God for his love for you. Come on, go ahead. Thank him. Thank him like you mean it.